Chapter 27, Part 6. He who attaches no value to power has attained supreme wisdom. We have now come to the last verse of Chapter 27 of the Tao Te Ching. Though his wisdom may seem foolish, he who attaches no value to power and does not seek affluence has attained supreme wisdom. This verse brings us up against a difficulty because virtually all Chinese scholars give different translations of it. Most of them simply explain that the Chinese text is very obscure at this point. So although we will be trying to give you an explanation, we are not certain that it will be in keeping with the original text. Throughout all times, liberated entities have carried out their task with respect to those creatures still on the path or still wandering in darkness. This means that there has always been contact between those who have been born as to the spirit and those who are as yet unborn. The quality of this contact is very important for both parties. Is there sympathy or is there antipathy? Are the workers met with belief or with disbelief? Is there susceptibility to real help or not? These are urgent questions. Remember, for instance, the words of Matthew chapter 13. They took offense at him, but Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So the contact between those who are born and those who are unborn can involve many difficulties. That is why Lao Tzu alerts his pupils to this at the end of chapter 27, because tendencies towards misconception, disbelief, and even opposition and resistance are always liable to come to the surface owing to the fact that the help and power emanating from the sages can have only one goal. Moreover, it is a help which is given impersonally and thus goes out to good and bad alike. Doesn't the fundamental life-encompassing requirement set by the school frequently conflict with your personal interests and circumstances? All who approach the new life will, in one way or another, have to let go of something. They will have to introduce changes in their approach to life and do things they would much rather not do. That is why those who still expect everything of the horizontal level will experience a considerable amount of conflict on seeking and gaining contact with the sages, because, owing to their state of being, the sages are unable to compromise even slightly. In most cases, this conflict will be unintentional and certainly not desired by the pupil. Why does it happen? Because every nature-born human being exists in a state of imprisonment. All are the prisoners of the astral field in which they live, for it controls their entire personality. In this astral field, many radiation forces are found. Some originate from the individual's past or from the collective past of humanity. Others originate from humanity's present state of life. And there is a third kind of influence which penetrates the world from the immovable kingdom. Owing to their astral quality, these vibrations from the immovable kingdom can no longer reach human beings in a direct way and are therefore brought to them by the sages. Obviously, this fundamental difference will quite naturally and inevitably cause conflict. The flaming sword of the doubly illumined ones, the blazing sword of the Holy Grail, the sword of the apocalypse, strikes and pierces everyone. That is the predicament of those who are imprisoned in their astral bonds to such an extent that they can no longer react harmoniously to the inviting call of the light. What an intense conflict of conscience this must cause, listening to the voice, hearing the call, but still not being able to react. When a day of manifestation is still in the process of unfoldment and hasn't yet reached its nadir, humanity, in general, notices little of this piercing astral conflict. There are certainly contrasts between doctrine and life, but there are plenty of ways of avoiding the consequences. However, when a phase of human development is approaching its lawful end, difficulties are exacerbated to such an extent that people are held back by the bitter facts from escaping the great requirement. Then there is no choice but to demonstrate positively how one stands with respect to the messengers of the light. When that point is reached, it becomes evident that neither good nor evil, nor the possession of great intellectual knowledge, can bring humanity a single step further on the path of development. All the values people tried to cling to in their desperation have turned out to be empty, void. The human urge towards goodness remains, but no one knows any longer what is good and what is bad. What one person considers to be good, another person denounces as the greatest evil. People can no longer escape the conclusion that their lives have been founded on delusion, and that now there is only one reality left, the reality of the void. Hence the question, how do you stand with respect to the messengers of the light and the wisdom of the light? A spiritual school is always manifested at the end of a cultural period. The awakening call which emanates from it forces everyone to react. The sword is struck right into the deepest depths of the human soul, aiming to make contact with the primordial atom of the heart and impel it to positive activity. The result of this can never be evil, for it is caused by the only good, which comes from the Father of Lights and seeks to form a link with everything and everyone who is in danger of being lost. This message, this warning, had to be given to you. Let your consciousness dwell on the final words of Chapter 27 of the Tao Te Ching. Although his approach to life may be decried by everyone as the greatest foolishness, the one who no longer attaches any value to dialectical forces and does not want to drown in the delusion of the nature of death, has gained connection with the supreme wisdom.